念诵念珠手镯的时候是你不敢数，就这么一数，不会用钱。
很多奉献者都离开走了哈。
There are several stories.
那么有好几个故事。
In which it's described Srimati Radharani being engaged in worship of the sun god.
有好几个故事讲的是 Radharani 崇拜太阳神。
Lalita Madhava is what is actually Vedanta Madhava by Rupa Goswami is one of those places.
然后 Rupa Goswami 写到了 Vedanta Madhava 在这里面写到了。
And there's another in Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's Govinda Lilamrita.
Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami 写的 Govinda
Lilamrita.
Govinda Lilamrita 里面也写到了。
The stories are very similar. The narrations are similar.
这个讲的内容是基本上如出一辙的，差不多。
And it seems something like a theme that maybe is being told slightly different, or pastime is being told slightly different by different acharyas.
那就是，讲的内容都是一样，就是有的就是人一个讲的比较详细一些，一个就讲的比较简，简洁一些。
Is that Srimati Radharani and Krishna?And a number of the gopis are enjoying together near Radhakund.
这个故事讲的是 Radharani Krishna 还有一些牧民姑娘们在 Radhakund 河岸，在 Radhakund 旁边一起享乐的消乐时光。
And Kundalata comes running into the midst of the assembly and says, "Look out! Here comes Jatila."
然后呢 Kundalata 这个时候就着急地跑过来说。你看了 Jatila 来了
Who is Jatila?
Jatila 是谁呀
Radharani's mother-in-law
是 Radharani 的岳母是 Radharani 的
婆婆
是 Radharani 的婆婆
So this is of course simply a pastime
那么呢这就是这个消时光的一开始
So they make a plan to head in a northerly direction north of Radhakund
然后呢他们就计划着向这个北边的 Radhakund 进发
And then Kundalata comes back with Radharani
Kundalata 就紧随 Radharani 的后面跟着他
They go to Suryakund
他们去到了 Suryakund
Suryakund is the place where the sun god was worshipped
Suryakund 这个地方呢就是崇拜太阳神的一个地方
So there's a temple for the sun god and there's a kund or pond in front of the temple.
在那里呢有崇拜太阳神的一个庙宇旁边呢还有一个小小池塘。
Some of you may have been to Vrindavan.
那么去过 Vrindavan 的奉献者。
And you went to Vrindakund, the place where Dinabandhu keeps his ashram.
那么 Dinabandhu Prabhu 呢他是一在那里呢就是维修了 Vrindakund 这个地方。
So if you've been there, picture in your mind the temple of the sun god and the kund in front of the temple.
如果大家还记得这个 Vrindakund 这个地方的话，会浮出一个画面，就是在这个庙宇前面有一个小池塘。所以 Suryakund 同样也是这样的分布的。
So actually, it's nice to get a little picture of what Jatila looked like.
那么我们现有一张图片是Jatila，它长什么样？
Maybe you've seen sadhus in Vrindavan or some other place. They have this big, long matted hair, and they have it wound up on top of their head.
然后就是去过圣地的人都知道，在圣地有一些沙杜，他们把自己的头发就是缠得高高的，转在就顶在头顶上，弄成一个髻，高高的髻发髻。
That's called a jat.
这被称为 jat.
Matted hair piled up, circled around.
就头发就这样，卷起来，顶，就在卷起来，形成了一个髻发髻，堆在自己的头顶上。
And her name is Jatila.
所以呢，厄德拉尼的婆婆叫做 Jatila.
She was very strange looking.
她看上去
for a sophisticated lady.
所以她看上去呢，模样挺怪怪的。所以她就是内心是一个比较复杂，思想比较复杂的一个人。
And her eyes cross like this.
而且她的眼睛呢，就是这个样子交叉。
And she was.Half mad all the time.
而且呢，有的他看他总是看上去好像是半疯的样子。
And often very angry.
而且呢，总是一副怒气冲冲的样子。
But sometimes she could become nice.
但是有的时候也会是一个很好的就是很好的时候，很和蔼的时候。
So when Radharani and Kundalata reached the place for worshipping the sun god.
那么当 Radharani 和 Kundalata 去到了崇拜太阳神的地方的时候，
Jatila with her arms folded in front of her was saying, "Where have you been? You're late."
然后 Jatila 就双手就这样插着，就问您去哪？
Of course, they didn't tell Jatila why they were late.
然后呢，当然他们没有告诉为什么他们俩迟到了，晚来了。
They said we were searching for a brahmana to perform the puja for the sun god, but we couldn't find any qualified brahmana.
然后 Radharani 和他的朋友就告诉 Jatila 说，我们去找一个适合崇拜太阳神的一个 brahmana 来做这个祭司，但是呢，怎么找也没有找到合适的人选。
Because all the other qualified brahmanas.Have been engaged already by the other gopis.
因为呢，其他的那些合格的婆罗门已经被其他的牧牛姑娘们用了，用来做其他的服务了，指导任命他们去做其他的服务。
We heard there was one Vishva Sharma who was a disciple of Garga Muni.
啊，我听说了 ，Garga Muni 有一个门徒叫 Vishnu Sharma。Vishva Sharma
like the Vishva Roop Vishva
Vishva Sharma 这样他是 Garga Muni 的一个门徒
by the way Sharma is a very common name in that part of India
那么实际上在顺便说一下在印度的那个地方呢这个 Sharma 这个词 Sharma 这个名字是人们经常用到的一个名字
and so Jatila said well Go out and try to find him.
然后 Jatila 说那你们去出去找到这个人把这个人找来
And Kundalata said We don't think it'll be very successful because you have this reputation you're such a strange person we don't think he would even come here.
然后呢后来呢那个 Radharani 那个朋友就说到了说我们可能找不着这样的人不会成功的因为你的他说 Jatila 你的名声在这里不好所以呢可能那个人他不会来的
Jatila said Tell him that I'll give him nice dakshin and we'll have a very nice story of puja somehow get him to come
然后呢 Jatila 就告诉他们说去把这个人邀请来了我们会给他一大笔这个 dakshin 就是给他一些酬劳这里会有一个非常豪华的一个 Surya 祭祀太阳神的一个祭祀请他来做这个祭祀给他一大笔酬劳
Discussion goes on for some time and finally Dhanishta and Kundalata they go to find Krishna Krishna is going to be the Pujari the Brahmin
后来呢他们就这样争来争去的就在最后呢还是达成了一致 Dhanishta 和 Kundalata 他们两个人终于答应了去找这个Garga Muni 的这个门徒 Vishva Sharma 来做祭司
So Krishna comes back in the name of Vishva Sharma along with Madhumangala.
然后呢 ，Krishna 呢，实际上这个 Vishnu Sharma 就是 Krishna 本人。然后 Vishnu Sharma 他身边后面跟着他的朋友 Madhumangala， 是一个牧牛，是一个婆罗门朋友。
And both Krishna and Madhumangala are chanting very different and strange mantras.
啊，这个 Vishnu Sharma 和和 Madhumangala 他们两个人念诵的曼陀罗是非常奇怪的一个曼陀罗。
The mantras that Krishna is reciting.
然后 Krishna 是这样念的，念的这个曼陀罗。
They're not standard mantras, and even Jatila recognizes they're not standard.
啊，甚至这个贾提就是 Krishna 所念诵的这个曼陀罗，就连贾提呢就能听得出来，不是一个什么标准的曼陀罗。
She said, "We've heard good things about you as your mantra chanting, but I've never heard these mantras before."
然后呢，他就说了，根据我所听的那些曼陀罗，我可从来没有听过你所念诵的这个曼陀罗。
But these are special mantras just to invoke, so that your son will have many cows and you'll become a wealthy family.
然后呢 ，Krishna 就这样回答说，我念诵这个曼陀罗了，是能够就是为你的儿子祈祷，祈祷你的儿子能够生出很多的后代，并且很富有。
These are very secret and sacred mantras.
这是一个非常神圣的曼陀罗，很隐秘的，很秘密的一个曼陀罗。
And Madhumangal says they're very authorized. They come from such and such and such and such scripture.
然后 Madhumangala 又进一步
He just made up a name.
啊，然后 Madhumangala 他就进一步的证实说，这个曼陀罗是很具有权威性的，它是来自于哪个地方的出处。
Krishna says to Jatila.
然后 Krishna 对 Jatila 说。
I'm a very strict brahmachari, brahmana.
我是一个非常严格的 brahmachari, 遵守僧婆罗门。
I generally don't do any of these pujas for ladies.
我正常情况下不会为一个妇女做这样的祭祀仪式。
But I've heard of your virtues and that of your chaste daughter.
啊，我就听说了你的这个美德，还有一个非常贞洁的一个女儿。
I'm making an exception because of your piety.
那么因为你这么虔诚，所以呢，我接受了给你们做这个祭祀。
Then he says, normally I don't do pujas unless someone formally accepts me as a brahmin, a priest. So I have to do this particular mantra chanting.
那么呢，通常情况下
accept me in a formal way as your priest.
那么呢，这个 Krishna 就说了，除非我正式的，就是被接受这个婆罗门，啊，正式接受为这个婆罗门，所以呢，我才会做这个祭祀。
So it's Radha who is doing the puja.
那么 Radha 呢，他做这个 puja.
So Krishna asks Jatila, "What is your daughter's name?"
然后呢，因为是要给 Radha 做这个 puja， 所以他的 Krishna 就问 Jatila 说：“你女儿叫什么名字？”
Her name is Radha.
他说 ，Jatila 说：“我的女儿叫 Radha。”
He said, and then Krishna said, "Oh, in Mathura, we've heard of the virtue of Radha as the most chaste girl in all of Vrindavan."
然后 Krishna 就说到了，哦，在 Mathura， 在 Vrindavan， 听说了 Radha 是最贞洁的女子。
And because I'm a brahmachari.
因为我是一个 brahmachari， 遵守僧。
She has to take her vows touching the other end of this kusa grass.
啊。然后呢，他就说了，说他应该就是，点着这个触碰这个枯萨草，要发一个誓言。
Now all the while, Radharani knows it's Krishna, but Jatila can't figure it out.
然后呢，就在那个时候 ，Radharani 早就认出来这个祭司，这个婆罗门就是 Krishna 本人，但是Jatila还埋在骨里，不知道。
And there's about 7 or 8 verses all in Sanskrit where Krishna is saying mantras that have a double meaning.Essentially, she's accepting the eternal association of Krishna in those mantras.
那么实际上在这个曼陀罗里面，它有这个双重的含义。这个里面就是说到了，实际上它会得到跟 Krishna 的永恒的这种联系，也就是说永恒的和 Krishna 在一起。
And then Madhumangala comes in and he says his mantras.
然后呢 ，Madhumangala 就来了，他就开始念诵曼陀罗。
And then, They both pronounce, "Oh, this has been a very successful puja.
因为这个曼陀罗的完美的发音就会能够帮助他们这个 Raja 大功告成，能够圆满的实现。
We can tell you the sun god is very pleased.
那么我们可以告诉你，太阳神是非常非常满意的。
And because of the piety and the virtue of both of you and your family.
因为你们家庭有这种美德，还有这个虔诚活动的积累。
Jatila is feeling very good about himself.
所以呢，贾提呢听了以后呢，非常的心满意足。
I'd like to give you a very nice dakshin.
啊，所以说了，我要给你们一个香数量。
And she goes to Radharani's finger and takes off two rings from Radharani's finger and hands it to Krishna.
然后九七呢就对他们说了，我要给你一大笔酬劳。后来九七呢就从Radharani的手指上，取下两颗戒指就给了他们。
And then she asks if Krishna or Vishva Sharma could read her palm.
然后呢，他就告诉他就告诉Vishnu Sharma 说，可不可以看一看他的手相
？Vishva Sharma says, "Well, I'm a brahmachari. I don't read girls' palms."
后来呢 ，Vishnu Sharma 就说了，我是一个正所生 brahmachari， 我不给女孩子看手相。
But you're such a pious lady, I'll make this exception.
但是呢，你是如此的虔诚的一个女子，所以呢，我可以答应给你看。
But I cannot touch her hand. She'll just have to hold her hand up in front of me.
所以呢，他就说，但是我不能触碰他的手，你呢，把他的手，托给我看，拿给我看。
So Radharani is blushing and she knows what's going on, and she places her hand before Krishna, and Krishna starts to swoon just to see Radharani's hand.
然后，当然了 ，Radharani 他知道的就是 Krishna， 他那会儿就是非常就是有一点羞涩。后来呢，他还是把手放在了 Krishna 的面前给他看。然后 Krishna 就开始看他的手相。
And Krishna says many glorifying things about Radharani.
然后 Krishna 就开始荣耀 Radharani.
I can see from her hand that she is the most virtuous of all ladies.
然后 Krishna 就说了，从她的手相可以看到，她是世界上最贞洁的女子。
Her good husband is very fortunate because she is so completely chaste.
因为她是如此的贞洁，所以呢，她的丈夫是非常幸运的，世界上最幸运的人。
And she will bring all good fortune into the family, just like the goddess of fortune will.
那么，她呢，就会像幸运女神一样，给这个家里带来无限的幸运。
She's practically the goddess of fortune herself.
那么呢，实际上她就是幸运女神本人。
And many other nice things.
啊，说了一大堆非常荣耀的话。
Jatila becomes so enlivened, she takes off her own rings and gives her rings to Madhu Mangal.
然后呢 ，Jatila 听了以后，满心欢喜，一和从自己的手上取下戒指，给了 Madhu Mangal.
And then she says, "I'd like to give you some food, some meal."
然后他又说到了，我想给你一些奶制品，一些牛奶。
He said, "I'm very strict. I only eat at a Brahmin's home."
后来这个他就说了。
Krishna.
然后 Krishna 说，我是一个非常严格的人，我只吃那些婆罗门做的食物，婆罗门家里的食物。
And it goes on and on like this, and Jatila becomes so happy.
然后呢，就这样呢，他们不断的进行下去。后来 Jatila 非常的高兴。
She said, "You will please me very much if you will make this arrangement that every day you perform Surya Puja." Right here for Srimati Radharani, my daughter, daughter-in-law.
后来九七呢就对 Krishna 说到了，说，啊，你太缺我了。如果你每天都能来到同一个地方，在这里来崇拜 Surya， 太阳神的话，给 Radharani 来崇拜太阳神，那我就更高兴了。
And Vishva Sharma says, "This will be very good. Your family will prosper for sure if you do this."
然后呢，后来 Krishna 就对他说了。Vishnu Sharma 就对他说了，说如果你们家里天天这么做的话，你们家里肯定是繁荣昌盛，这对你们家全都有好处。
I'm missing some of the details, but that's the drift of how the pastime goes.
那么呢，还有一些细节我记得不是很清楚了，但是大概的故事大概就是这个样子的。
In the Vedanta Madhava, Rupa Goswami writes.
那么在 Rupa Goswami 写的 Vedanta Madhava 这本书当中
that Purnamasi that she's Yogamaya personified in Krishna's Leela
那么在 Krishna 的逍遥时光当中 Purnamasi 就是 Yogamaya 的人格 化身。
She says that Sandipani Muni began instructing Radharani that she should worship the sun god.
然后他说到了 ，Purnamasi 说 ，Sandipani Muni 教导 Radharani 开始崇拜太阳神。
Now it's something like, when the gopis were worshipping the goddess Katyayani to get Krishna as their husband.
那么呢，当那我们可以就是都大家都知道，那些牧牛姑娘们，她们崇拜 Katyayani.
Katyayani.
Katyayani. 她们崇拜 Katyayani 女神是为了得到一个好的丈夫。
There's a whole chapter in the 10th canto about that.
那么在圣典博迦瓦坛的整第十篇里面对此有描述。
All these little girls, they're just very, very young.
那个时候呢，那些小牧牛姑娘们，她们很小的时候，她们就去崇拜了 Katyayani.
So they're attracted to Krishna like anything.
那么呢，她们完全被 Krishna 所吸引。
So they undergo this very severe austerity during the coldest month of Magh, January, February.
那么呢，他们呢就是在最冷的月份，就一般是二三月份的时候，他们在最冷的月份去做了非常严苛的苦行。
And before the sun rises.
他们在太阳升起之前。
They go to the bank of the river Jamuna.
他们去到杨那河岸。
And take morning bath after worshipping Katyayani.
那么他们在崇拜了 Katyayani 之后，就去到杨木那河岸，在那里沐浴。
And the water is freezing.
那个时候水呀、啊，特别的冰冷。
But they do this austerity with the wish that Krishna will become our husband.
但是他们之所以这么做呢，就是希望 Krishna 能够成为他们的丈夫。
So in the commentary of that chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam.
那么在 Srimad Bhagavatam 的这一章节的评述当中这样写道。
The gopis are not worshipping a mundane goddess, but they're worshipping the internal potency of the Supreme Lord.
那么这些牧牛小牧牛姑娘们呢，她们崇拜的实际上不是那种世俗的女神，而是在崇拜 Krishna 的内在能量。
And similarly with Srimati Radharani.
同样的 ,Srimati Radharani, 她也是崇拜了 Krishna 的内在 ,Krishna 的内在能量。
Like we were reading earlier today.
就像是我们今天早上所说到的。
She's not worshipping merely the sun, but Surya Narayana.
那么实际上她崇拜的就是她崇拜的是 Surya Narayana.
Much like, Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, they worshipped a deity of Lord Nrsimhadev.
就像是亚修的妈妈和 Nanda Maharaj, 他们崇拜女辛哈德，主女辛哈德。
So, you get the idea. They're not demigod worshippers.
那么实际上他们不是半神人的崇拜者。
Oh, look at this. It's the diacritics you can't read. Let's do this.
Not when early. This one. This one. This one I can.
Huh?
This is another one you sent me before.
Okay, I don't know what's going on. So let's chant text 53 together.
我们一起来念诵第五十三十节。
Dharma Papa Nichaya Kuchaya Stapamsi Brahma Diti Tatakavaya Sachajiva Yadadharmacha Vibhaka Prakata Prabhava Govinda Vipurusha Namaha Pratyani. Can I have that slide changer? So now the translation.
译文：我崇拜原始之主 Govinda， 存在于所有善恶、伟达诸经、苦修，以及上至 Brahma， 下至最微小的昆虫等所有个体灵魂中展示的能力，全由他授予的力量维系。
What is the verse saying?
那么这个诗节讲的是什么呢？
Well, here's what the summary says.
这个这里概述到。
There are potencies within material activity.
那么在物质的活动当中有存在的一些能量。
That effectively elevate or denigrate, bring down the position of the living entity.
那么实际上呢，这种能力，这种力量呢，要么可以提升生物体，或者是让生物体降格。
There's pious activity and impious activity.
那么呢，有虔诚活动和不虔诚活动。
There's virtue and there's vice.
有善与恶。
And those different activities have potencies to elevate or drag one down.
那么呢，这些活动呢，它们具有要么提升生物体的力量，或者是使生物体堕落的力量。
And the potencies for either up or down comes from Govinda.
而这个无论是这是使人提升还是使人降格，这个力量全都来自于 Govinda.
And in summary, in this purport, Bhaktisiddhanta focuses especially on Varnashram.
那么呢，在 Bhaktisiddhanta 对这个诗节的要旨里面，他着重的描述了 Varnashrama 是社会划分和是灵性进阶。
In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says.
那么在博伽梵歌 ，Krishna 这样说的。
That he has created this system personally.
他是亲自创立了这样的制度。
Chaturvanam maya shrishtam guna karma vivagashaha. He says that this system is given by him to elevate the living entity.
这个制度由 Krishna 本人创立，是为了使生物体得以提升。
And conversely, failure to follow Varnashram system leads to degradation.
所以呢，那么就是
Failure to follow Varna and Ashram duties leads to degradation.
没有去，就是没有按照 Varnashrama 制度去活动的人，他们就会堕落，他们就会降格。
In his purport, Bhaktisiddhanta speaks about dharma, meaning virtue.
是的，Bhaktisiddhanta 在要旨里面说到了 dharma 的意思是美德，德行。
And he writes the very first line of the purport.
那么是他呢在要旨里面这样写的。通过 Dharma 德行就意味着是跟 Varna 和 Ashrama 的它的这个功能，指的是 Varna 和 Ashrama 的功能或活动。
Most of you know what Varna and Ashrama are.
大部分都知道 Varna 和 Ashrama 是什么吧。
Ashram It's just like, you know, this is the ashram, the place where one lives for the purpose of spiritual practice.
那么我们现在住的这个 ashram, 住在一起是为了进行灵修。
And there are four different categories of ashrama according to the system.
那么根据这个 Varnashrama 制度呢，一共有四个灵性境界。
And they correspond with stages of life.
它呢跟一生的这个不同的阶段是相对应的。
There's student life where one lives a life of celibacy, that's brahmachari.
那么当一个人他遵守的作为一个学生阶段保持遵守，这被称为是遵守生阶段。
And following that commonly comes married life or grihastha ashram.
然后接下来呢会进入到 grihastha ashram, 也就是居士阶段。
There's then following that a stage of retiring from active family duties and moving strongly towards spiritual focus in life.
那么在居士生活履行了各居士生活的职责，逐渐的进入到隐退的一个阶段。
Vanaprastha is the name.
那么隐退的阶段就被称为是 Vana Ashram.
Vanaprastha.
Vanaprastha.
And then finally comes sannyas ashram.
然后接下来就进入到 sannyasi ashram.
Those are spiritual orders of life.
这是这个生命当中的生命进阶。
And then there's varieties of occupation.
然后当然了，还有各种各样的职业。
That's varna.
那么就被称为呢 varna.
And commonly they're compared to like the four different parts of the body, the head, arms, torso, and legs.
那么呢，它呢就形象的被比喻为一个身体。那么就像这个身体有头有手等等。
So there are duties assigned to both.
所以呢，这两者都有要履行的职责和义务。
The point of the verse is the power or potency to elevate within Varnashram comes from Govinda.
那么呢，在 Ashram 这个里面所通过在不同的 Ashram 所履行的职责的这种力量是来源于 Govinda.
In the verse, there's also this word Papa Nishchaya.
在这个诗节里面还有 Papa Nishchaya.
Papa.
Nishchaya.
The Sanskrit word papa means sin.
Papa 的意思是罪恶。
Punya and papa, virtue and sin.
Punya and papa, 和 papa, 一个是美德，一个是善，一个是恶。
So here's that same word, papa, P-A-P-A.
这里说到了 papa, 就是指的罪恶。
And this is a verse spoken by Lord Chaitanya to Rupa Goswami.
那么呢，这个诗节呢是主且泰涅马哈帕布对卢帕多斯阿米所讲的。
And the verse is essentially saying that the Vedas give procedures to avoid sin by proper activity, but people don't follow those proper activities, and therefore they incur sin.
那么呢，就是当人们按照规范的活动去做的时候，他们就会去从事虔诚的活动。如果不按照这些规范的原则去做的话，他们就会行恶。
And it's true not just for Vedic life, but just common life today.
那么呢，我们现在就是生活在这样的一个这种一般的生活当中，以前就是按照韦达经的训示去生活的。
Here's a standard dialogue that Prabhupada would have with Christians.
那么在帕帕以前跟一个基督教徒他们之间有这样的一段对话。
In fact, I saw a video of Prabhupada speaking with a cardinal of the Catholic Church.
那么呢，那个时候呢，帕帕呢正在跟一个天主那个红衣大主教跟他进行交谈。
The topmost person in the Catholic Church is the Pope.
那么呢，在天主教里面，他们最高的一个职位的名称被称为是红衣大主教。
And the whole world, there's some number, I think it's like 15 different cardinals all over the world.
那么呢，可能在世界上有十多位像这样的人物。
That's the top of the religious structure.
那么呢，这是这个他们的这个宗教这个制度当中的最高的一个职位。
So a discussion between Prabhupada and a cardinal in France was in Paris was arranged.
那么呢，就是这个对话呢，是当时的一个朋友，他们安排在巴黎进行了这场对话。
So Prabhupada was talking on some very simple principle.
释迦牟尼佛当时呢，就对非常简单的一些原则进行了讲述。
He was saying, people in your religion don't follow the religion.
然后帕帕就说到了，那些信奉你们宗教的那些人，他们并没有按照宗教的你们的这个所信奉的宗教的原则去生活。
The cardinal was saying, no, no, they follow.
然后这个大主教说了，不，他们按照这个原则生活呢。
Then Prabhupada said, does it say in the commandments of your teaching?Thou shalt not kill.
因为在你们的这个经典里面说到了，人应该就是勿妄杀。
Yes, our scriptures say we should not kill.
是的，我们经典里面说到了，不应该杀生。
And in your religion, are people eating meat?
而你们呢，信奉你们的宗教的人呢，却在吃肉。
He said, yes, they're eating meat.
那个大主教说，是的，他们在吃肉。
So to eat the meat, you have to kill the animal.
那么释迦牟尼佛说了，要吃肉就得杀生。
So they're not following the basic teaching.
所以呢，他们就没有按照基本的原则去生活。
And this is the cardinal. He says, no, to take the life of an animal, it's not killing.
那么后来这个大主教说，他们并没有杀生。
And Prabhupada said, how can you say it's not killing? If I take your life, or if we take a human life, That's killing and taking an animal life, it's not killing.
那么薛蟠就问他说，那你怎么能说是杀动物不是杀生，要杀人才是杀生呢？
What is your reason for speaking that way?
那么你这么说有什么道理呢？
He said the animals don't have a soul.
后来这个大主教说，动物没有灵魂。
And Prabhupada said, where does it say that in your scripture?
后来帕帕就问，你们的经典你哪里这么说了？
That animals have no soul.
他说到了动物没有灵魂。
And he didn't answer the question. He said, well, the difference between a human life and animal life is humans have rational faculty and animals don't.
啊，然后呢，这个大主教说到了，人和动物之，他没有，他回避了这个问题，没有回答，他就说了，人和动物的区别就是人类很理智，动物就没有这样思考的能力。
He had justification for what he was doing, but not based on scripture.
所以呢，他就是他的这个生活呢，并没有基于这个经典的教导去生活。
And he's the topmost person.Next to the Pope in the Catholic Church.
然后他呢，就是这个天主教里面所占据的最高职务的这样的一个人物。
And that's what Lord Chaitanya is saying here.
那么读写泰亚在这里说到了。
Within religious teachings, there are things that are to be done and not to be done.
然后呢，他就说到了，有一些非常宗教人士，他们并没有按照他们应该做的那样去做。
But in this age, people speak that they're following religion, but they don't follow religion.
那么主席他应该说以前那些宗教人士按照他们应该做的去做了但是在这个卡利年代人们说一套做一套
They do not follow the principles
他们并没有去追随原则
Instead they commit all kinds of sin
而是在从事各种各样的罪恶活动
So we have heard again and again in Prabhupada's way of speaking that human life beginsby following of the Varnashram system.
那么我们听到了须达帕巴很多次都说到了人类的生命始于按照 Varnashrama 制度去生活。
That means living, there's codes given by God and we live underneath them. We regulate our life according to what is God-given, not our imagination.
那么呢实际上这样的规范原则呢是由至尊主他制定的而不是想象出来的。当一个人按照这样的原则去生活的话那就是我们的生活就得以提升
So this is human life the elevation that takes place in human life starts with Varnashram
所以呢那么人类真正的人的生活是开始于按照 Varnashrama 制度去生活
And Srimad Bhagavatam teaches what is the perfection of that Varnashram
然后圣典不加瓦坛呢也告诉了我们 Varnashram 呢制度的完美境界是什么样子
Does anybody know that verse 126 from Srimad Bhagavatam?
大家聊在还记得圣典不加瓦坛第一篇第二章第六十节说的内容吗
Sabai Poksam Parodarmo Yato Bhaktir Atoksaje Ahaituki Apatiyata Yayatma Suprasidati You've heard the verse before.
大家听过这一节诗吧
It's describing not just dharma, but paradharma.
这里面说到了不仅仅是 dharma, 而是 paradharma.
Because that's Bhagavatam's subject matter, the topmost virtue, the topmost attainment of human existence.
那么呢佛家瓦坛所讨论的体旨是最高的是让人们是能够使人们到达一种最完美的境界
And that topmost stage of Dharma is bhakti or devotion unto Adhoksaja or Krishna
那么呢这个最完美的境界是什么呢人类最完美的境界就是对 Adhoksaja
But now let's
对他的这个奉爱
Let's go down a little bit in the below the topmost stage
然后我们从最高的到最低的这种境界一一来讨
And I'll just summarize what this says
我现在来概述一下这里所说到的内容
There are vidhis or rules and regulations within the Vedas
那么在维达经里面有 vidhi 有这个规范守则
Or for that matter any genuine religious teaching
那么呢所以这些呢都是为了都是非常正宗的宗教的经典里所描述的
it's said that there's two divisions or categories
那么呢它就是有不同的划分
from primary and secondary.
那么有的呢原则是首要的原则，有的是次要的原则。
And the primary is that which awakens our love of God.
那么主要的原则呢，能够唤醒我们对神的爱。
And the secondary ones are that which regulate our worldly tendencies.
啊，这个次要的原则呢，是跟我们的物质的倾向相关。
Because conditioned souls have strong affinity for matter and material enjoyment.
因为呢，受条件限制的灵魂，他们很受进行物质感官享乐的这种便利条件所吸引。
There are these second ones called gona dharma.
那么这个次要的原则当中有 gona dharma,
where men can fulfill their material desires at the same time.Advance or become elevated.
那么通过这个 Gona Dharma 呢，一个人在同时满足自己的物质感官享乐的愿望的同时，他也能够得以灵性上的提升。
The Bhagavatam speaks primarily about the principal ones or primary ones that lead to elevation.
那么圣典薄伽瓦坛主要是讲的主要的原则，帮助人类得以提升。
And those that are devoted to the Supreme Lord, they will follow.The rules and regulations of the worldly kind.
那么呢，如果人想要成为主的奉献者，他就会去遵守这些原则，造福众生。
Then there's the virtue, or excuse me, the vice side of people do not follow Varnashram.
如果那些行恶的人，他不去按照 Varnashrama 的制度去做。
If they seek to fulfill their worldly desires outside of that uplifting.Element of Varnashram.
如果他们不去按照这个Varnashrama 那使人得以提升的这个原规范守则去做的话，他们就是在做罪恶的事情。
By trying to satisfy desires that are outside of God's interests.
那么呢，他们为了只是满足自己。我感官想到的愿望，而不是为了去满足主的愿望的话，
Then one becomes degraded.
那么这个人呢，这样的人他就会堕落，他就会降格。
So let us remember what the verse is speaking about.
那么我们现在来看一看这个诗节讲的内容。
Even in worldly activity,
即便是从事物质的活动。
There are potencies that serve to elevate and potencies that serve to degrade.
即便是从事物质的活动，也有使人得以提升的能量，或者是使人降格堕落的能量。
Those potencies come from Govinda.
那么这种能量呢，是来自于 Govinda.
So this is describing karma and how karma elevates or degrades.
那么这里讲的是 karma 活动，那 karma 如何使人得以提升？或者是使人堕落。
In the first line of this verse, there is this word tapamsi.
那么在这节诗的第一行当中提到了 tapamsi.
And it's translated as penances.
那么这个词呢，翻译成中文就是苦行、苦修。
And penances or tapasya is part of Varnashram system.
那么苦行、苦修呢，这是 Varnashram 制度当中的一项活动。
Even non-devotee personalities, such persons do many austere things.
即便是那些非奉献者，他们也会做一些苦行苦修。
When I was riding in a car to come to from the Shanghai airport to get to the Shanghai airport to come here.
那么当我坐在就是从上海到这里的。坐在这个飞机场的时候，上海的飞机场。
China Eastern canceled their flight.
然后那个时候呢，就是那个东方航空公司，那会儿我乘的那，就是要坐的那一班航班啊，被取消了。
So I was put on a later flight.
所以呢，我不得不乘下一班航班。
That required going to the airport during rush hour traffic.
然后呢，那个时候呢。
We were driving to the airport in rush hour traffic.
因为那个时候呢，就是为了早一点出发呢，以免堵车，所以呢，我们就早出发了。
Some people do that every day.
那每天呢，有人都这么做。
And that which normally takes about 35 minutes from where I was staying took us about almost 2 hours because it was rush hour traffic.
因为那个时候正是堵车的高峰，塞车的高峰，所以通常情况下35分钟就可以从我住的那个地方到飞机场了。但是那个时候却花了两个多小时的时间。
And that's just getting to work, and then there's coming back from work.
啊，所以呢，就是
去
了两个小时，然后回来又两个小时。
And then to work.
啊，就这样。
Lots of austerity and penance for productive workers.
所以呢，咱们可以看到，有的人呢，他们就是有的时候会是在路上花两个小时，回来还花两个小时，就这样，他们很多的时间就花在路上了，就这样，他们每天要经历这样的苦行。
Now, what's the objective?
所以呢，那么这里是有什么目的呢？讲这个。
The fruits of their work.
那么他们的活动的成果。
So that they can become wealthy.
那么呢，这样呢，他们能够让他们变得非常富有。
So that they can then be happy.
这样呢，他们就能够幸福快乐，帮助他们找到幸福快乐。
But just like Nisringa Maharaj was saying the other day in his morning class.
就像是李辛哈德在一天早上讲早课的时候谈到。
In the last whatever 30-40 years, China has grown so much in prosperity.
那么呢，在过去的就是三四十年当中呢，中国非常的发展的非常迅速，很非常的繁荣。
And you could list the ways in which prosperity has really boomed.
啊，我们可以看到现在中国在哪些方面非常的繁荣昌盛，可以罗列一大堆出来。
Are people happier?
那么现在的人们真的是很快乐吗
？Is the quality of life better?
他们的生活的质量提高了吗？
Is the compassion between one person and another person now better?
那么人与人之间的这种怜悯之情是不是越来越多了呢？
The quality of life has gone down.
他们的生活的质量越来越糟糕。
In the pursuit of prosperity.
他们为了追求繁荣。
So, the Varnashram system doesn't say you must be poor in order to be happy.
那么呢，在这个 Varnashrama 制度当中说到了，一个穷苦的人不一定是一个不会快乐的人。
Or if you prosper, you will suffer.
那么或者是说，如果你富有了，你会也会经历痛苦。
What the Varnashrama system teaches is the purpose behind each activity.Needs to be transcendental purpose.
Varnashrama 就是制度，这个经典里面说到了 Varnashrama 制度的背后的每一项活动的目标应该去征达超然。
So in his purport, Bhaktisiddhanta gives this very simple definition of penance or tapasya.
Bhaktisiddhanta 在要旨里面给出了。tapasya 这个词，苦行苦修这个词非常明确的一个定义和含义。
So you can translate that. All regular practices.
所有的这些规范的修行，他们学来都是为了达到自身应该应有的那种功能或者是目的。
The self means the soul.
那么呢，这个。像在这里的说的自我就是自我的这个应该达到自我的功能
and,
就是指的灵魂
and souls are never alone
而灵魂呢从来不是孤独一人的
any more than a ray of sunshine exists separately from the sun
那么呢您这个阳太阳从来不会跟阳光分隔开来
or a spark exists separately from the fire
或者是火花从来不会脱离这个火
The proper function of the self is service to Krishna.
那么呢，自我的正确的活动应该是服务 Krishna.
So penance means anything that helps us get closer to that natural position of service to Krishna.
那么呢，苦行就意味着它的目的是能够让自我能够到达至尊。
So, like Maharaj was describing, for some people, getting up early in the morning is really difficult.
那么呢，就像 Maharaj 说到了，早起对某些人来说是很困难的一件事。
For some people, it's really nice.
但是呢，对于另外一些人来说呢，是很自然的，很好的一件事。
Getting up late is difficult.
那么对于另外一些人来说，晚起是很糟糕的，很困难的一件事。
You know, happiness for a Brahmana looks like misery to a fruitive worker.
啊、oh, ，那么呢，对一个 Brahmana， 对他来说，去从事那些果报的活动，对于他来说是一件很糟糕的事儿。
Exactly what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita.
佛家，在佛家梵歌 ，Krishna 也这么说到了。
What is night for a self-realized soul is daytime for the conditioned soul, and vice versa.
那么这里面说到了，对于那些内行者、智者，白的白天是那些。是那些
当众生醒来的时候，
当众生醒来的时候，
正是
圣人的黑夜。
Like cleanliness，
就像是洁净、清洁。
Devotees， when I travel a lot，
那么当我一个人进行旅行传教的时候
，and one of the most important things about whatever it is where I stay is that it's clean。
那么对于我来说，我所在的地方，对于我来说最重要的就是要保持清洁。
Having internet is important too.
那么呢，还有这个有网络，这是第二个重要的。
But those two things are there, and you know, it's fine.
啊，这两者在这里吧，还行。
And something can be very fancy, and you know this and that, but not clean.It's really uncomfortable just being in that place. It's not clean.
那么在一个脏兮一个不干净的地方待着简直是太难以忍受了。
But you know, for a worldly person, they don't even, their standard of cleanliness is unbelievable.
那么对于那个世俗的人来说，他们的这个洁净的标准简直是太让令人难以置信了。
Anyway.That which leads to the proper function of the soul, that's penance. That's what we're to accept.
那么这个苦行的意思就是说，所有的这些规范的修行啊，都是为了达成自我的真正的目的。
There's potencies in those things that elevate.
那么呢，这样去苦行，它的本身的力量是应该让人，它具有让人提升的力量。
Now we'll go down a little bit below the human form of life.
那如果一个人他们投身到低于人形的这样的生物种类当中的时候
，and again the topic of karma，
那么这里面还提到了 karma 活动
，where according to Sukadeva Goswami，
根据 Sukadeva Goswami 所说
，there's four verses in a row that list all the different stages and categories of living beings.
那么呢，在这里面就是写到了这一行诗里面写到了，提到了所有生物体的各种各样的种类。
And there is stated that everyone, according to their past deeds or karma, their position is provided for them.
那么呢，这里面说到了根据众生他们自身过去的活动，那么。他们就会相应的得到一种情况。
And just like the verse says, from Lord Brahma down to the meanest insect, there's all these different species of life.
那么呢，就像是这里说到了，从 Brahma 一直到最微小的生物，一共有840万生命种类。
And you add up those numbers, you get 8,400,000 different species.
那么下面的就罗列了其中的有多少。有40万人类等等，还有其他的种类。
And one can go up and down in those different species according to karma.
那么一个生物体呢，就按照自己过往的活动，他们就会投生到这些不同的种类当中。
In this second canto verse, in the purport, Prabhupada writes.
那么在第圣典薄伽瓦坛第二篇第十章的修帕巴在要旨里面写道。
Elevation up and down is determined by degrees of consciousness.
那么一个人从一个种类当中提升到另一个种类当中，都取决于一个人的知觉状态的程度。
Let's say somebody is sinful and they become a bug.
那么例如一个人他从事了罪恶活动，他就投身到一个虫子的臭虫当中。
Let's make it easier. They become a dog.
啊，或者是他们投身成为了一条狗。
So when they get the body of a dog, what do they do?
那么当他们投身为一条狗的时候，他们做什么呢？
They do the things that dogs do.
他们就会做狗要做的那些活动。
Wag their tail, like this dog in this neighborhood, he barks all night long.
那就像是这个隔壁的这个邻居家的狗摇着尾巴。 晃着头。
And he chews on bones.
然后就是选择他们要吃的东西。
Because he gets a dog body.
因为他得到了一个狗的身体。
Why did he get the dog body?
为什么他得到一个狗的身体呢？
Because of karma.
因为这是他的 karma 过往的活动决定。
So he lives out his life in the dog's body.
所以呢，这些过往的活动呢，就导致了他投生为一条狗。
Some amount of his karma has now been reduced.
那么现在呢，他的这个一些 karma 呢，就减少了。
He's not developing any more karma.
如果他没有再去发展更多的业报。
Developing karma is specific for the human form of life.
那么呢，这个更好的就是发展他的这个 karma， 以便获得人类的形体。
So some layers of karma are now lifted.
那么呢，现在呢，就是由于他的有一些 karma 能够使人提升。
And his karma is lifted, his consciousness is elevated slightly.
那么呢，他的这些 karma 呢，使他的知觉状态得以提升。
And then he'll get a corresponding to a higher consciousness.
那么这样
another form of life.
这样呢，那么相应的，他就会提升到一个更高的一个生物种类当中。
Now this is.The intelligence that one has is determined by the super soul.
那么呢，他们的这个智性呢，实际上是由这个超灵来最后中来进行来决定的。
So he'll give intelligence according to our position.
那么根据他所在的这种情况，相应的给他一种提供某种智性。
And then the behavior becomes different because the intelligence is different.
因为这个智性的程度不一样，所以呢，活动、行为、举止也不一样。
Again, just on the theme that going up or going down is all taking place through the potency of Govinda.
那么呢，这种使人提升或者是使人降格的这种力量，全都来自于 Govinda.
If one is very fortunate.
Then
one may get the association of an elevated person.
那么如果一个人足够幸运的话，他就会得到一个崇高人物的联谊的机会。
And in that condition, the cycle of birth and death can be finished.
那么在这样的情况下，一个人就会从生老生死循环当中解脱出来。
This is a painting of the gambling arrangement of throwing dice and Yudhisthira and.The Shakuni with his loaded dice.
那么呢，在这个图片呢，说的是 Yudhisthira。那么他们在和 Shakuni 那一方的人正在进行掷骰子这样的赌博活动。
Involved in feral activities like that can be very dangerous.
那么呢，去卷入到这样的活动当中是一件危险的事儿。
And the yogis, without taking shelter of the personality of Godhead.They may be able to project the soul and do astral travel. You can say that one.
然后这个就是，如果一个瑜伽师他不去脱避于至尊人格守神的莲花族的话，那么他按照他的瑜伽的修行，就会把自己的这个生命之气提升，顶多就是提升，得以提升，进行他的这种旅行。
But the real purpose.Of the Vedas and the real destination of the soul is attaining the goal, Krishna Loka.
那么呢，如一个人他实际上做这个瑜伽的终极的目标，是为了能够回到 Krishna Goloka.
So this verse is discussing bhakti bhajan, how to transform the up and down fruitive activities to transcendental activity.
这里面提到了 Bhakti Bhajan 就是把那些使人提升或者是使人降格的活动把一个人从这样的活动当中超脱出来到达 Bhakti 的层面
Let us chant the verse
我们来一起念诵这个诗节
Yastvindra Gopam Atavindram Ohoswa Karma Adhanarupa AbhajanukhajanukhiKarmani Nirtakitinjutabhaktivajam Govindrani Purusham Tamahrajami
译文我崇拜原始的主 Govinda 他对充盈奉爱之人
燃尽他们一切果报活动的根，而对行进在果报之途上的人，他则公平地根据他们先前所做的一切，规定他们各自应得的活动成果的享受。从微小的昆虫 Indra Gopa 到天地 Indra 也是如此。
And that's not really what an Indra Gopa germ looks like.
那么这里是写的那个有一个 Indra Gopa， 就是这个小昆虫，就是这个样子。
But there's Indra.
右边的图是 Indra 的 ，Indra.
So there's a this verse is contrasting the previous verse about karma up and down.
那么呢，这个诗节呢，跟前面使人提升和使人堕落的这个活动相比较，就是是一个完全形成了一个对照对比。
Instead of up and down potencies in material activity，
那么这里面并没有讲到使人就是堕落的这些活动。
This verse is describing how Krishna takes care of that situation for his devotee, where even the tendency for fruitive activities is taken away.
那么这里面说到了。至尊主 Govinda 会对他从事奉爱的那些奉献者，他会帮助他们燃尽他们想要从事活动的根，即便他们有这样的倾向，主 Govinda 也会帮助他们去除掉。
Pretty good without even seeing the verse. You just did that from memory.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you for your blessing.
She chanted good japa this morning.
今天早上念诵的加法不错。
So, here's what Bhakti Siddhanta says in his purport.
那么 Bhakti Siddhanta 在他的要旨里面写道，那为因为从所有的欲望当中解脱出来，那么这是对 Krishna 的对 Krishna 的服务，能够使人从所有的欲望当中解脱出来。Krishna 完全摧毁了 karma， 以及跟 karma 相关的那些欲望，以及所有以及奉献者所有的那些胡作非为。那么这是 Krishna 更大的一个奇迹，他是对任何人都是不偏不倚的，尤其是对他的奉献者尤为关爱。
Well, in one sense, it's a mystery.
那么从一种角度来说，这是非常。神秘的
that Krishna has special affection for his devotees even though he's neutral to all living entities.
那么呢，即便 Krishna 对所有的生物体都是保持中立的，但是他尤为钟爱他的奉献者。
But in another sense, it's not mysterious at all.
但是呢，从另外一个角度来说，好像并非如此。
Krishna says, Yayatamam prapadyante tamstataiva vajamyaham. He says he's, as living entities, prapadyante, you surrender to him, he reciprocates accordingly.
但 Krishna 在《般若梵歌》里面说到，根据生物体对他的臣服皈依的程度，他会相应的沐以恩泽。
And that's what the next verse says also.
而且下面这个诗节也说到了这一点。
So, Kamsa had a certain regard for Krishna.
那么 Kamsa 呢，他对 Krishna 有一种敌意。
He's my enemy.
那他是我的敌人。
So Krishna is neutral.
那 Krishna 他是保持中立的。
Oh, you'd like me to be your enemy?
啊，你想让我成为你的敌人？
Okay, I'll be your enemy.
那我就成为你的敌人吧。
And so Krishna became his enemy.
接下来 Krishna 就真的成为他的敌人了。
And, you know,one of his coward boyfriends, he wants to be his friend. Okay, I'll be your friend.
然后有一个牧牛童呢，想要 Krishna 成为他的朋友。Krishna 就说：“好吧，我成为你的朋友。”
In that sense, he's neutral.
那么从这种角度来说 ，Krishna 是保持中立的。
But he killed Kamsa, and he embraced his coward boyfriend.
然后 Krishna 呢，杀死了 Kamsa， 而去保护了他的牧牛童朋友。
So it looks like.Against one and in favor of another, but it's not.
好像是厚此薄彼，但是并非如此。
He's simply reciprocating as someone approaches him.
那么实际上是 Krishna 按照一个生物体接近他的心态去 相应的予以回应。
And those who feel affection for Krishna,
那些对 Krishna 有怀着深厚的爱的人，
He feels affection for them.
那么 Krishna 也会深爱着他。
Prabhupada gives the example of a mother and father that may have many children.
那么帕帕就给出了这样的例子，父母可能会有很多孩子。
And they're loving parents.
他们是非常有爱心的父母。
So they love all their children equally.
所以呢，他们平等的爱护每一个孩子。
But supposing amongst this big family of many children, one child is particularly dependent and affectionate.
那么呢，假如说这是一个非常庞大的一个家族，家里的孩子后代非常多，其中有一个孩子呢尤其的依靠父母，或者是非常的孝顺深爱着他们的父母。
So they reciprocate with the affection of that affectionate child.
那么呢，父母呢就会相应的爱到这个孩子的这个深爱的程度呢，就会相应的予以回应。
They're not partial, it's just they're reciprocating with that affection.
他们并不是偏心，而是按照对方的这个爱的程度予以回应。
It's completely natural.
这是非常自然的一件事。
And for Krishna the same.
对于 Krishna 来说也是一样。
It's a great wonder that Krishna being impartial.
那么这是
Fully partial.
Krishna 这是 令人称奇的。 Krishna 是不偏不倚的，但是他尤为珍爱他的奉献者。
I'm going to read a little bit from Bhaktisiddhanta's purport.
我现在来阅读一下 Bhaktisiddhanta 在要旨里面写到
的。Except I didn't bring the book with me. Did you bring the book with me? Oh, look at this. Good for you. So. Starting with, I have great mercy to his devotees. Oh yeah, the fire ordeal. Okay. It's towards the beginning of the purport.
那么呢，这是在要旨的一开始。
With regard to his devotees.
对，由于非常的关爱他的奉献者。
Krishna sees that they have very deeply conditioned tendencies for fruitive activity.
然后呢 ，Krishna 看得出他们心中有的时候有一种根深蒂固的对果报活动的倾向。
They want to come to Krishna.
他们想要到达 Krishna 那里。
We want to go to Krishna.
我们想要到 Krishna 那里。
But these other tendencies are very strong.
但是呢，还有一种倾向非常的强烈。
Who can count how many lifetimes we've been engaged in fruitive activity in the material world? Too many, you can't count them.
谁能算得清我们经历了多少生生世世一直在从事的果报活动？
Very deep tendency.
这是一个非常深。根深蒂固的一种倾向。
So Krishna helps by removing that tendency from its very root.
那么 Krishna 呢，他就能够去除掉，根除掉，他的奉献者心中的这种欲望。
By the fire of ordeal.
那么他就这里说到了，会通过考验，严峻的考验之火。
Now it's not always like, you know, a big conflagration, a big fire, a big deal.
那么呢，并不是说是像这个非常非常复杂的这样的一个严峻的不得了的那样的一种考验。
Unless we're attached.
那么这就是我们要经历的考验。
And when we're attached, it becomes a big ordeal.
那么呢，当一旦我们要经历考验的时候，它就成为了一件大事。
More from our side than Krishna's side.
这是从 Krishna 的那一方说的，这是
It's more from our side than Krishna's side.
就是从我们这一方说是这样子的。
You understand what I'm trying to say?
大家明白这个意思。
The sense of ordeal is how we perceive what's happening, as opposed to Krishna. Well, I gotta really let them have it because they're too attached. And bam, it's not like that.
那么呢，实际上就是说，当我们遇到考验的时候，并不是说是突然之间，一个 一个东西就砸在你头上，然后面临这样的考验。
We feel the ordeal of fire when some difficulty arises and we're attached to that something.
那么呢，我们感觉到这种严峻的考验的时候，就是说，当我们遇到这样的一种困境，我们很难以摆脱对一种事物的依附，那个时候我们就会经历一种考验。
There's more pain when we're more attached.
就是如果你越执着，就会越心痛。
The waves of the material energy go up, and the waves of the material energy go down.
那么有这个使生物体得以提升的这样的波涛，也有使生物体降格堕落的这样的波浪。
It's happening in our life, it's happening around us in other people's lives because the waves are going up and the waves are going down.
所以呢，对于我们来说，我们都有就是有让人生命得以提升的这种途径，也有让使人生命得以降格的这种途径，其他人也是如此。
And we feel ordeal or pain, especially when we're attached.
所以呢，尤其当我们面临考验的时候， 我们更加的有这种痛苦的感受。
I'm going to give some examples where Krishna very kindly helped his devotee who was undergoing a fire of ordeal.
那么呢，我现在要给大家举个例子， Krishna在考验， 通过这种严峻的考验之火， 来考验他的奉献者的这个例子。
You remember the pastime we discussed yesterday?
大家还记得昨天我们讲的这个逍遥时光，
where Lord Brahma was coming before Krishna to offer prayers.
那么这个那个时候呢，婆罗诃摩他去到Krishna那里向他进献祷文。
And he realized, first of all, that he made a big mistake.
然后那个时候他就意识到了自己犯了一个特大的错误。
He offended Krishna and the cowherd boys and the cows.
他冒犯了Krishna，冒犯了那些牧牛童还有小牛犊。
It wasn't like a wicked thing that he was doing, he was testing, he wanted to see Krishna's power, what Krishna's going to do.
并不是说是他的这个错误是非常就是不可饶恕的，他这么做是为了想考证一下这个小牧牛童到底是不是至尊一个守神。
But it was an offense to Krishna.
但是呢，他这么做的确是冒犯了Krishna。
So he knew he was going to get a reaction.
所以呢，婆罗诃摩他知道这样做会得到反应，得到报应。
So there's a very famous verse in his prayers.
那么在他的祷文当中，有这样一段非常著名的祷文。
It's quoted in a purport in Bhagavad Gita.
在《博迦梵歌》的一个要旨里面，
and it's a very nice verse to learn, especially when you get a little ordeal.
那么呢，当你经受这种考验的时候，这个诗节尤其是我们应该学的一个诗节。
It begins, Tattenu Kampam Susamikshamano. That's how it begins in Sanskrit.
那么呢，这个范文就是刚才Maharaj念的那个，以这个范文开首。
Essentially what Lord Brahma says,
那么Brahma他主要是这么说的，
is I know that there's some reaction coming my way.
那么我知道我这样做呢，肯定是会遭到报应。
And I'm simply going to accept whatever is the arrangement that you've made.
那么我呢，我会接受你所做的一切的安排，无论什么安排，我都会接受。
But now I've realized your position.
那现在我已经认识到了您的地位。
And so my intention is not to invest my time and energy into counteracting the reaction or minimizing it in some way.
那么我现在呢，我现在的意向不是专注于怎么样去活动，能够抵消我所做的这些活动的报应。
Instead, I'm going to just accept the reaction that's coming.
那么而是呢，我只是一心一意的去接受我所要遭受的报应。
And instead, I'm going to invest my consciousness in one thing, your two lotus feet.
而我呢，我的知觉，唯一要专注的就是您的莲花足。
And I'm thoroughly convinced that just by maintaining that position of shelter as your two lotus feet,
那么呢，我完全的相信，只是专注的，完全的专注于您的莲花足。
I will inherit the kingdom of my father. I will inherit.
啊，那么我就会继承我的父亲的王位。
Who is Brahma's father?
谁是婆罗诃摩的父亲？
Garbhodakshaya Vishnu.
Garbhodakshaya Vishnu.
He's saying that I will go back to Godhead if I simply stay fixed at your lotus feet.
因为他对我说过，我如果我只是专注于您的莲花足的庇护，我就能够回归受身。
There's a law in India.
那么在印度有这样的一条法律。
I don't know. Maybe there's a similar law in China.
可能在中国也有类似的法律规定。
When the father has sons.
当父亲有一个儿子，他是有一个儿子。
The oldest son inherits the property of his father when his father departs the world.
嗯，那么当这个父亲从这个过世之后，那个家族当中的长子就会继承父亲的财产遗产。
He also inherits his debts.
而且呢，他也会他的孩子也会继承他的遗产。
So if the father is a debtor, it's passed on to the eldest son.
所以呢，那么这个父亲呢，通常就会把自己的遗产继承给家中的长子。
And if the father is a wealthy man,
如果这个父亲是一个富有的人
，the wealth is passed on to the eldest son. He doesn't even have to write a will.
啊，那么呢，这是这个遗嘱上写的，就是当父亲他是一个很富有的人的话，这个父亲他就会把自己的遗产继承给自己的长子。
When discussing this verse,
那我们在讨论这个细节的时候
Prabhupada explains this is the same principle that Brahma is speaking.
那么呢，释迦牟尼就说到了，这是 Brahma 说的同一个原理。
I will tolerate the difficulty that's coming my way.
那么呢，我会去容忍我的这些困难。
Due to my past misdeeds.
那么因为我过去的这些不恰当的行为，我会去容忍我所遭受的报应。
But my mind will not budge one inch from the two lotus feet of Govinda.
但是呢，我的心意不会偏离对 Govinda 的莲花足的冥想。
For by so doing, I'll become the rightful inheritor of the property of my father.
因为我如果我这样做了，我就会继承我的父亲的财产。
So that's how Brahma is responding to the ordeal that is going to come his way.
所以呢，这就是 Brahma 对他的就是即将降临到自己身上的考验所做出的反应。
Oh, there's the nice verse.
这里有一个非常美丽的诗节。
Tatenu kampam.
这是这个诗节。
You can look it up in Bhagavad Gita purport. It's there.
那么可以去阅读《博伽梵歌》的要旨，这个要旨里面就引述了这个诗节。
Prabhupada explains, the commentary explains to this verse.
这个评述阐明了解释了这个事情。
A devotee placed in an awkward circumstance never blames the Lord.
那么当奉献者被置于两难境界的时候，困境的时候，他们从来不会向主抱怨。
Can you think of any other examples where a devotee is put into a difficult circumstance?
大家还能不能够列举出来，当奉献者被置于困境的时候，他们的反应
？An ordeal，
或者是当他们遭受考验的时候
？And he accepts that ordeal as a plan of the Supreme Lord to elevate him。
然后这个奉献者呢，他完全的去接受这样的考验，作为至尊主对他的仁慈或者是
Maharaj Pariksit。
例如 Maharaj Pariksit。
Maharaj Pariksit was cursed to die.
Maharaj Pariksit, 他被诅咒，即将死亡。
Very severe penalty.
是一个非常非常的严峻的一个考验。
For something that he did that was wrong, but it was not appropriate. It was the father of the little boy who made the curse said, "This is you've gone way over the top. This is not at all in proportion to what the king has done."
那么实际上就是那个时候呢，他实际上并没有做错太什么的偏离的事儿。那么那个时候呢，但是他却遭受了这个婆罗门的儿子一个巨大的一个诅咒。
This is another nice example. This is King Chitraketu.
这是国王 Chitraketu.
And he is traveling in his vimana or his heavenly spacecraft.
然后呢，他就乘坐了他的这个，像半神人，像这个天神般的这个飞行器。
He's come to pay a visit to Kailash and visit his friend.
然后他就去到了，飞到了 Kailash 去见他的朋友。
King Chitraketu was so elevated that Lord Shiva was his friend.
那么国王 Chitraketu 他是如此一个崇高的国王， 乃至主希瓦成了他的朋友。
And as his Vimana was coming in for a landing,
然后当他的这个飞行器，飞中城，空中城堡降落到地上的时候，
he saw that Parvati was seated on the lap of Lord Shiva.
他就看到了 Parvati 那个时候正坐在主希瓦的大腿上。
And he made a statement that was meant to compliment Lord Shiva.
然后呢，他就说了一些话，这些话呢，就是有点嘲笑主希瓦。
Only a person of your spiritual elevation could have his wife seated on his lap like this and not be agitated.
然后他就说到了，像你这样灵性崇高的人物，让这个Parvati当众坐在你的大腿上，不是一个好像是有一个受过，就是有一个修养人所做的事。But
Parvati misunderstood.
但是呢，Parvati却误解了这句话。
She thought that Chitraketu was criticizing Lord Shiva.
他认为Chitraketu是在批评主希瓦。
So when Chitraketu came down from his airplane,
然后呢，当Chitraketu呢从他的飞机上下来的时候，
Parvati shook her finger at him.
然后Parvati呢就伸出手指指着他说，
You have offended my husband.
你冒犯了我的丈夫，我的老，我的丈夫。
You have no idea how exalted he is.
你不知道他的地位是多么的崇高。
You are thinking he's an ordinary person.
你认为我的丈夫是一个普通人。
And I curse you for this offense that you become a demon.
我因为你做了这样的冒犯，所以我要诅咒你，诅咒你成为一个恶魔。
Very severe. She was angry.
她非常的生气，很严肃，很严厉的一个诅咒。
When Durga gets angry, watch out.
那么当Durga女神 生气的时候，你看一看是什么样。
And very calmly, Chitraketu said, "My dear Parvati."
然后呢，Chitraketu呢，他非常平静的对Parvati说道，Parvati女神。
You are a most elevated personality.
你是一个非常崇高的人物。
Somehow this is a plan of the Supreme Lord.
可能这就是至尊人格守神的一个安排吧。
And he's simply acting through you.
然后呢， Krishna 的这个安排呢，通过你的口。
Although please know, I was not intending any offense to Lord Shiva.
那么实际上是显而易见，我并不是想要去冒犯主希�a。
I was praising and honoring him.
我实际上以这种方式来赞扬他。
But I accept there's a will of the Supreme Lord happening here, and I'll just accept it.
那么呢，可能这就是至尊人格守神的愿望了，所以我现在就是完全接受这样的事实。
So he circumambulated her three times, went back to his Vimana.
然后呢，Chitraketu呢，就绕拜了他三圈，然后就回到了自己的飞机上。
And he went back to his planet.
后来他就返回了自己的星球。
And then Lord Shiva chastised Parvati.
后来呢，主希瓦就批评了Parvati。
He said that it's not he who's made the offense, it's you who's made the offense.
然后主希瓦就说，并不是他做了冒犯，而是你做了冒犯。
He's on the same spiritual platform as I am.
他跟我处在同一个灵性的层面上。
But you couldn't understand how elevated he is.
但是你不能够明白他是多么的崇高。
But his behavior just showed you how elevated he is.
但是呢，他的行为已经展示出他是多么的崇高了。
And then he spoke another very famous verse from the Bhagavatam.
然后他就讲述了圣典国家瓦坛的另外一个非常著名的诗节。
Narayana Paraksarge Nakutashchanya Vibhuti Svarga Apavarga Narakeshu Apito Yarta Darshanam. So he's saying,
他说了,
that a person of the caliber of Chitraketu,
那么像 Chitraketu 这样的崇高的人物,
when some ordeal comes to him like this,
那么当他面临考验,就像今天这样的考验,
his mind doesn't change at all.
那么他的内心一点都不受了,一点都不受干扰,非常的平静。
The outcome of a particular event may be he'll get liberation, or it may be he'll go to hell, or it may be he'll go to heaven, and his mind is unchanged by any of those outcomes.
所以呢，他一点都不这个结果一点都不受打扰。也许他结果会提升到高等星球，也许他会进入到低等星球。所以无论什么样的情况，他的内心一点都不会受打扰。
How is such a state of consciousness made possible?
那么这种知觉状态怎么会达到这样的一种知觉的状态呢?
And it's in the verse, it's by complete attachment to Narayana, or the personality of God.
那么呢，只有当一个人完全的依附 Narayana, 至尊一个守神，一个人才能够处在这样的知觉状态当中。
If we had more time, we could ask you to give some examples, but it's already 8 o'clock.
那么现在已经八点了，如果有时间的话，我还想请大家来思考找一找在经典里面还有没有类似这方面的例子。
It's a very important lesson. How should a devotee face difficulty or ordeal?
那么实际上在这里讲到的是，当一个奉献者面临困境或者是考验的时候，他应该如何面对？
It's a big topic.
这是一个非常大的一个话题。
But it depends upon your consciousness.
但是呢，这取决于一个人的知觉状态。
There is I'm going to end very quickly.
我很快就会结束。
There's reference in Jiva Goswami's Sandarbhas.
那么在 Jiva Goswami 写的 Sandarbha 这本书里面。
Specifically, Priti Sandarbha.
尤其啊，实际上是 Priti Sandarbha 这本书。
Where he makes reference to this verse by Queen Kunti.
那他呢就对这个昆提皇后所讲的引述了昆提皇后所说的话。
Where she's asking for calamities again and again.
那么呢，实际上昆提他是这样说的，他祈求这个灾难一次又一次降临到自己身上。
You're familiar with that verse.
大家对这个世界比较熟悉了，是吧
？So, Jiva Goswami says.
金瓦公司啊，你对此说道。
This is coming from a platform of raga.
那么这样的一种境界，实际上是他到一个人到达 raga 的时候会展现出来。
I'll explain.
啊，我来解释一下。
According to Jiva Goswami.
根据金瓦公司啊，你所说。
There are stages and higher stages and even higher stages of prema bhakti.
那么在 prema bhakti 这个阶段，有高的阶段，有更高的阶段，还要比更高的还要高的阶段。
The topmost stage is that which Srimati Radharani exhibits.
那么呢，在 prema 对 Krishna 纯粹之爱的最高的阶段，就是 Srimati Radharani 所展示出来的。
According to scripture, only she can experience that.
那么根据经典里说，只有 Srimati Radharani 才能够体会到这样的更高、最完美的阶段。
But there are other intermediate stages, more mature, more developed stages of prema, and raga is one of them.
那么呢？在这个 prema 的比较，在对 Krishna 纯粹之爱的阶段当中，也有这个比较高的这个阶段。那么在这个阶段当中呢，其中 raga 就是一个阶段。
And Jiva Goswami says Queen Kunti is on that platform.
那么 Jiva Goswami 在这里说到，昆提皇后就处在 raga bhakti 阶段。
She's so attached to Krishna.
她非常依附 Krishna。
That difficulties being intensifying that attachment for Krishna for her is ecstatic.
所以呢，那么当她面临困境的时候，这些困境能够让她愈加的依附 Krishna， 使她处在一种狂喜的状态当中。
There's only one interest.
所以呢，这是她唯一的感兴趣的。
Seeing Krishna, being with Krishna.
就是看到 Krishna 和 Krishna 在一起。
And as far as such a devotee on the stage of raga they're not interested in anything else.
所以呢, 只有当一个人处在 Raga Bhakti 的阶段, 他不会对其他的任何事情感兴趣。
And he writes, this is astonishing.
而且这是令人称奇的。
It's certainly not ordinary.
它肯定不是非同寻常的。
And in another section of the same book, Priti Sandharva,
那么在 Priti Sandharva这本书里面,
He explains that the ordeal of suffering of the Pandavas.
那么呢，就是讲到了 Pandava 他们所面临的、所经历的那些困苦的境界。He
writes that they had no material suffering.
那么这里写到了 Pandava 五兄弟没有物质的痛苦。When
sometimes the Pandavas were separated from Krishna.
那么当 Pandava 五兄弟和 Krishna 处在分离之情当中的时候。
The ecstatic emotion of misery arose.
那么他们的这种痛苦，对痛苦这种痛苦分离之情的狂喜，
What was difficult for them was separation.
那么对他们来说，这种分离之情是一种困境。
And the external circumstances that looked like difficulty.
那么呢，这些外在的这些处境。 看上去是对他们来说是一种困境的时候
They felt ecstasy but because it increased their devotion for him
那么他们外在的这种困境 实际上是激发了他们对 Krishna的这种依恋 让他们处在狂喜之情当中
In fact he describes it as a type of bhava Sanchari bhava
那么实际上在这里面说到了 这里提到了 Sanchari bhava
And that's it for today.
这就是今天要讲的。
So any discussion?
大家有什么问题吗?
就是那个Yogamaya和那个Mahamaya是不是都是Durga女神扩展的?
So her question is that Yogamaya and Mahamaya, both of them are expansion of Durga Devi?
No.
不是。
But Yoga Maya is the internal potency.
Yoga Maya 是至尊主的内在能量.
And her shadow is Durga.
那么 Yoga Maya 的影子就是 Durga.
Not the other way around.
或者是另外一个说法.
Not in reverse.
不是你刚才说的。
Do you remember the discussion that we had?
那么你还记得我们上几节课是我讲的内容吗?
When the seventh child of Devaki, Balaram, was in the womb of Devaki.
那么呢，当 Devaki 她怀上第七个孩子，也就是 Balarama 就在她的子宫当中的时候，
Krishna called his Yogamaya potency.
然后 Krishna 就叫来了他的内在能量 Yogamaya.
And she came.
Yogamaya 来了。
And he gave her several services.
然后 Krishna 就给了她分配了她好几项服务去做。
And one of them was when she took birth as the daughter of Yashoda.
那么其中的一个服务呢，就是她要去诞生为 Yashoda 妈妈的女儿。
Simultaneously, Krishna would take birth.
那么与此同时呢？
And Krishna would arrange a change. He would become the son of Yashoda, and she would come over to the prison house of Kamsa.
然后呢，就在与此同时， Krishna 就让他安排，就是在他们降生出来之后， Krishna 呢，后来就是进行调换调包， Krishna 就成为了 Yashoda 妈妈的儿子，而他呢， Yoga Maya 成为 Devaki 的女儿。
You remember, yeah?
但还记得这个故事吧？
So then when Kamsa tried to kill her,
那么当 Kamsa 试图要去杀死他的时候，
he took the child by the legs and was prepared to smash the child on a big rock.
然后这个 Kamsa 呢，那个时候他抓起拎起这个婴儿的腿，试图把他摔死在石头上。
But the child slipped out of his hands.
但是这个孩子呢，从他的手中飞了出去。
And she went up into the sky.
然后呢，他飞到了天空。
And showed the form of Durga.
他就展示出了他的 Durga 的形象。
So Yogamaya expanded in a reflected form as Durga.
所以呢，那么 Yogamaya 他就这样扩展，就是倒映成为了 Durga 女神。
So Durga is Yogamaya's expansion.
所以呢，Durga 女神是 Yogamaya 的一个扩展。
Good. clear?
清楚了吗？
Anything else?
啊，
想问一下那个波罗颂钵赞，就是说是区分人格层、非人格层的一个分水岭吗？可以这么理解吗？
啊。So, Brahma Samhita, that it can distinguish who are impersonalism or who are personalism, isn't it?
Can
help us.
What's the, is the question?
Yes.
Let me just speak, please.
He said that the Srimad.
Let me say back what I understand the question
okay.
to be. She wants to know, does Brahma Samhita teach us who the impersonalists are?
那么你是不是想了解，就是Brahma Samhita 告诉我们谁是人格主义者，谁是非人格主义者，是吗
？Is that your question？
这是你的问题吗？
就是婆罗诃门赞，就是说，就是才有人格层的，就这一面的描述嘛。其他的很多经典你找不到人格层的描述。
那么在 ，He said that， Brahma Samhita described。Personalism, but the other scripture do not describe personalism. He said other scripture refers to Vedas or other Vedic literature.
I don't understand. Do you understand?
您能够再重复一下你的问题？
我就说，就是说，婆罗诃摩赞是那个，就是能够，就是说，分，就是说，能够这么理解，就是说，婆罗诃摩赞
告诉我们去划，谁是非人格主义者，谁是不是，谁是人格主义者？
这个分水岭，就是说他这个站，然后出来了以后，大概才让人们知道，然后
是啊，就是告诉我们怎么样去，谁是非人格主义者，谁不是非人格主义者。
他主要婆罗诃摩赞
是
人格的，
是啊，
别的书没说清楚人格这事儿。它是不是一本分水岭？
就是一个定义，这个
人格
人格的
人格和非人格主义的分水岭，是不是？
啊。
那你理解，那这本书就好像就是。
So from Samhita, like for example, like this country and the labor, so they have a boundary between the two countries. Yeah. So from her words, he said that from Samhita, like a boundary line, can help us.To make a difference, what is personalism, what is impersonalism?
Sure.
是的。
But it's not that other scriptures don't do that.
但是并不意味着其他的伟达文献、其他的经典就没有说到人格主义，不是这样子。
Particularly Srimad Bhagavatam.
尤其是圣典《摩迦瓦坛》。
Mataji in the back, yeah.
那个
旁边
一个，就是那个拉的蒙尼，他诅咒了那个库尔的两个儿子，然后呢，其实对他们是一种祝福，然后科什纳最终解救了他们，然后呢，那个就刚才那个是希腊的那个妻子叫萨提，他后的诅咒了那个蒙尼，也是一种祝福吗？那个蒙尼后来结果是什么？
So this morning is that Kurever, the two sons of Kurever, they cursed by Narada Muni to take birth as two trees. And later on, these two trees saved by Lord Krishna, and they revived to their original position. So this verse today, in this verse, one of the verse, it said that Chitra Ketu,cursed by poverty. Oh, and Narada Muni's cursing actually is a blessing for the sons. So in this verse, one of this was you mentioned that and Chichachetu cursed by Parvati. So Parvati's cursing is also kind of a blessing. So what's the result of Chichachetu later on take a birth as a demon?
He went back to Godhead.
And 后来这个 Chichachetu 他这个投生为恶魔之后，他回归守神了。他在那个恶魔的那一生，他回归守神了。
He served Lord Vishnu's interest and he went back during his life and he went back to Godhead.
因为他在这一生他就是服务了取悦了至尊主，所以他就回归守神了。
Yeah.
那我想问这个考验，就是奉献者考验是主安排的，是不是只有奉献者考验主亲自安排？
So the devotees, Krishna only arranged the test that the devotees experienced.
No,
but
that the devotee can pass.
And other non-devotees, their test arranged according to their karma.
Yes.
是的，这个奉献者的考验是主安排的，其他人都是他们的业报师。
这考验也够厉害。
Sometimes the test is very serious.
Yes. Well, stick around a while. Stay on in devotional service.
但是当考验来临的时候，我们继续从事奉爱服务。
Krishna never gives us a test beyond which.We cannot succeed.
那么就是 Krishna 他从来不会安排超过我们承受范围之外的那种考验。
What you have to endure, a new devotee would not be able to endure.
那么呢，你能够经受的考验，可能另外一个奉献者他经受不了。
What I have to endure, you wouldn't be able to endure.
我所经历的这种考验，你可能经受不，承受不了。
And what Prabhupada had to endure, I wouldn't be able to endure.
那么是他所经历的考验，我是承受不了的。
The challenge of circumstance is a privilege for those who are surrendered to Krishna.
那么呢，实际上是就是一个奉献者他所面临的这个考验，实际上是帮助了他。让他获得了越来越接近 Krishna 的莲花族对他莲花族的依附的一种特权。
那有的考验完了他就走了。
Sometimes 你说的奉献者。Sometimes when they
受不了就走了。
Yeah, when they challenged by test, so they cannot, pass it over, overcome it, and then left Krishna consciousness.
One of the paintings I didn't show.
那么其中有一张照片我没有给大家看。
Is the painting of Bali Maharaj being bound by ropes.
那么这个图片呢是讲的是 Bali Maharaj 被绳索捆绑起来。
Vamana is seated on his throne.
然后 Vamana 呢他就是他的当时 Vamana 坐在宝座上。
And he ordered that Bali should be bound like a criminal.
然后他就发出这样的命令。巴黎应该像一个罪犯一样被绑起来。
And different persons come into the picture and start saying, "Hey, that's not fair." And some people say, "It's perfectly fair." They go on and on.
然后呢，不同的人呢看了这个照片呢，反应不一样。有的人说，这对巴黎马哈尔太不公平了。有的人说，对他挺公平的。
And then Vamana speaks.
然后接下来 Vamana 就这样说了。
And he speaks that an ordinary person would never be able to survive what Bali Maharaj had to endure.
然后 Vamana 就说到了，当如果一般的人去经历 Bali Maharaj 所面临的这种考验的时候，他们甚至都经受不了，他们甚至就死了，就经受不了。
And he lists some of the details of what he had to survive.
然后呢，就是他就描写了一些细节，罗列出一些细节，为什么他存活下来。
And then he says, Vamana says that his strength was he would not depart from the truth.
那么实际上就是说，他这个力量就是在来，他从来没有偏离真理。
Then in the purport, Prabhupada says,
那么在帕帕在要旨里面说到,
sometimes the Supreme Lord puts his devotee into some difficulty.
他有的时候 Krishna 把他的奉献者置于困境之中。
But when the devotee is faithful, he also gives the strength to address and withstand the ordeal.
然后呢，当这个奉献者他满怀信心的时候，他就能够得到这种力量去克服这样的考验。
So it's a question of our faith.
所以呢，这个问题就在于是一个人的信心的问题。
And for those that are faithful, they're given strength.
那么那些满怀信心的人，他就会得到力量。
And for those that are not faithful, they feel broken.
那么如果没有信心的话，他们的就没有这种力量。
But Krishna never gives more than we can handle.
那么呢， Krishna 从来不会给予我们的一个考验超过我们的操纵能力范围之外。
But he's appealing for us to surrender further, surrender further.
那么实际上他通过这样的考验能够让我们更加的去臣服皈依他。
And we're saying to ourselves, I'm surrendered as much as I can. I'm surrendered as much as I can.
然后呢，我们就在说，我已经尽自己最大的努力去臣服皈依了。
But we're still holding on to something in this world.
但是我们的内心依然抓住着这个物质世界的什么东西不放。
And Krishna knows.
但 Krishna 他知道这一点。
Let me see what you have in your hand.
然后他就说，那我看看吧，你手里拽的是什么东西？
I have it in my hand.
我没有拽呀，我手里没拿什么东西。
We're like little children.
当我还是就是小孩子的时候。
But Krishna wants us to fully surrender.
所以我们现在不是就是说像那个小婴儿一样，但是 Krishna 他希望我们完全臣服皈依他。
There's some commentary about Draupadi and the disrobing of Draupadi.
那么呢，就是关于多帕提她被人扒去衣服的时候，对这段描述有这样的一段评述。
She later has conversation with Krishna.
后来呢，她跟 Krishna 之间有这样的一段对话。
Why did you take so long to come and save me?
你为什么要从那么大老远的地方来拯救我呢？营救我？
And Krishna replied, "Well, initially, you weren't calling upon me very feelingly."
那么后来 Krishna 说了，一开始的时候你就在那里大声的呼唤我的帮助。
You thought you could take care of the situation yourself.
那么一开始的时候你并没有非常的完全的充满信心去呼唤我。一开始你认为你自己可以让自己摆脱困境。
I wasn't going to interfere.
所以呢，一开始我就没有立刻去干预这件事。
But when you called upon me with such feeling, I came at once.
所以呢，当你那个时候完全是发自肺腑的呼唤我的时候，我就从大老远赶来了。
The problem of struggles that seem too difficult largely has to do with the false ego that's operating.
那么实际上是问题就在于我们有的时候这个假自我给我们制造了很大的困难。
I mean, to be in full dependence upon Krishna while one's making one's full effort, that's transcendental.
那么呢，就是我们在内心要想完全完全的去依靠 Krishna， 我们要做出全力以赴的这种努力，这种努力是超然的。
And bhakti has the power to take even the tendency for depending on anything other than Krishna away.
那么这个 bhakti 具有这样的力量，即便你并没有完全的依附 Krishna， 而内心还有对其他事情的依附，那么 bhakti 也能把这种倾向给完全去除掉。
Read the purport to Canto 6, Chapter 1, Text 15.
大家去阅读一下第博迦瓦坛第六篇。
2.1.15.
6.1.15. 那么就是第六篇第一章第十五诗节。
It explains the answer to your question in length.
那么这个里面的这个诗节或要旨就回答了你刚才提出来的这个问题。
Another famous verse, Kechis Kevalaya Bhaktya Vasudeva Parayana. Vasudeva Parayana is in that verse, and this one is Narayana Parayana.
那么在那个世界里面说到了 Vasudeva Pranaya， 这里面说到了 Narayana Pranaya。
They're both from the sixth canto. It's the theme.
那么这是一个主题，这里面都说到了这一个主题。
The title that Prabhupada gave for sixth canto.
那么帕帕给的这个第佛教文坛第六篇的抬头是题目是
Prescribed duties for mankind。
那么是描述人类的职责。
And there is the worldly kind of prescribed duties, and there's the transcendental kind.
那么人类呢，有这个世俗的职责、物质的职责，也有超然的职责。
And the Bhagavatam is encouraging us come to the transcendental kind.
而圣贤摩迦瓦坛呢，是激励我们到达超然的层面。
Vasudeva Parayana, Narayana Parayana, full shelter, exclusive shelter in the personality of Godhead.
Now, Vasudeva Pranaya, Narayana, Pranaya,
Parayana,
Vasudeva Parayana, Narayana Parayana, 这是指的就是我们要对至尊人格守神有纯专一的奉爱与皈依的心态。
And when that stage, as much as we come to that stage, we'll feel full support and strength, everything we need.
那么呢，当一个人到达这种层面的时候，他就能够获得所需要的一切的支撑的力量。
And prior to that, we're struggling and feeling a little overwhelmed.
啊，并且呢，他在这个阶段，他能够感受到这种。
Overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed. Yeah.
Overwhelmed.
Yes.
You want to know the word, a synonym?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
那么呢，我们就会能够相应的感受到被完全的得以庇护和保护。
And the opposite is also true.
那么反过来也是这样。
To the degree that we're depending upon our own ability and our own strength and our own intelligence.
那么如果一个人他完全依赖自己的力量、自己的智性等等。
We're surely going to experience difficulties that are just overwhelming. They're too much. We can't handle them.
然后呢，我们肯定就会遭受到，我们肯定就会被这个所面临的困难给压倒，我们难以操纵，难以掌控。
Yeah.
我想问，如果假如我们有考验的时候，我们第一时间要做什么？
So, when we face the test, what's the first reflection we should have?
I think I've spoken this about 4 times since I've been here. Some in private discussions.
那么就是有一个就是在个人的这种谈话当中。
First thing is,mode of goodness, pause, reflect.
首先呢，我们要让自己处在善良心态当中，要稍稍的平静一下，想一想，内省内省，反思反思。Sorry.
Avoid passion.
要避免处在激情心态当中。
Reflect.
就是要反思。
Then that's the mode of goodness.
这就是处在善良形态当中所做的，好好想想。
From the mode of goodness, you go to transcendence.
那么从善良形态，你就会上升到达超然的境界。
I'm Krishna's servant.
那么进入什么样超然的境界呢？认识到我是 Krishna 的仆人。
And Krishna is my master.
Krishna 是我的主人。
He's giving me some opportunity to serve him.
他现在给我一个机会服务他。
What is the best way to serve?Krishna in this circumstance.
那么在这种情况下，我怎样最好的去在这种情况下，怎么样去做是最好服务 Krishna 的方法？
So it requires the humility of heart
那么呢，这需要我们内心谦卑。
And the intelligence given by Krishna to understand the circumstance properly.
还有呢，需要我们 Krishna 赐予我们一种智慧，让我们在这种情况下相应的去做出服务。
In the mood of service, then I can consider how I can be of service to Krishna.
在这种服务的心态当中，我能够认识到如何在这种情况下去为 Krishna 从事服务。
It can happen very quickly. 1, 2, 3, boom! All those things in that in just a flash.
所以这个过程呢，可能会在一秒当中就已经就是想过，就已经完成了。
If you're practiced at it.
如果你经常这么去实验的话，练习的话。
If you're not practiced at it, it may take go very slowly.
然后，如果你没有这么经常练习的话，可能就是要花一点时间。慢慢的来，慢慢来。
Just like learning how to draw letters.
那么就像是怎么写这个字母。
Or drive a car, or do anything.
或者是怎么样去就是学开车一样。
You practice very slowly.
你要慢慢的去练习。
A B.
就像是你写字母一样 ，A B C。
And、
要一点一点的练习。
You just continue to practice, and then you don't think about it. Just A B C A B C.
然后呢，你就要就是经常这么练习，经常这么练习。你拿起笔来，思路想都不用想，就能够写出 A B C.
Similarly, this becomes second nature. How you respond to some challenging situation.
所以呢，这就是人类的第二天性。你对一种什么情况，然后突然就会有一个什么样的反应，这是人的第二天性。
As much as passion or ignorance.Was our previous nature, mode of goodness can be our new nature.
那么呢，就像是在前面可能处在这种激情或愚昧心态，然后我们要处在另一种心态当中，善良心态当中。
You can train yourself, train your mind and senses to not get, you know, reactive about something.
那么我们可以训练自己，训练自己的心意和感官，不要对一件事情，一来了，突然就做出反应。
That requires spiritual strength.
这是我们需要我们的灵性的力量的。
You can't do it without spiritual strength.
如果没有灵性的力量的话，什么都做不了。
Fortunately, the one half of our mantra is Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, because we heard Rama is he's that's Balaram. He's the source of all spiritual strength.
那么我们在 Hari Krishna Mahamantra 这个曼陀罗当中有一半，后面那一半是 Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari。那么其中的 Rama 就指的 Balaram， 它是非常有力量的，非常有灵性力量。
I shared something with Jambavati about this a while ago.
它是力量的源泉。那么我现在就是想到 Jambavati 原来提到的一个问题。
Talk with her, she'll explain.
然后你可以跟她来分享一下，那会儿给出的答案。
Anything else? We're at 8:30 here.
现在已经8:30了，大家还有什么问题吗
？Last question.
最后一个问题。
Two more questions. Three more questions.
还有三个问题啊。
1, 2, 3, and we're done.
然后这样，一二三，你是第三个哈。
Mataji.Go ahead. Well, you're speaking. Go ahead.
你说吧，你既然说了就说吧，继续说吧。快点，快点。
那个多尔嘎姆，多尔嘎母亲把那个七个开心王那个诅咒成那个恶魔的时候，他诅咒成恶魔，他叫什么名字？
What's the name of Chitralekha? Later he be take birth as a demon. What's the name of that?
Chitraketu.
Chitraketu. Chitraketu.
Chitraketu. When Chitraketu became a demon, the demon's name was Vritrasura.
那么当 Chitraketu 他后来变成一个恶魔的时候，那个恶魔的名字叫 Vritrasura.
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 Okay.
好了。
He was born out of a fire.
他是从火中诞生的。
Huge, up to the sky, huge demon with copper hair and copper eyes and a fake trident and roared so loud everyone ran in the other direction.
那么当他从火中一诞生出来，他的这个身体就是头顶着天，脚踏着地， 头头发是红色的，牙齿也是红色的，眼睛也是红色的，然后在他那里发出巨大的咆哮声，让每一个人都感觉到害怕。
Look in the sixth canto, there's a very nice painting of him.
那么你去看一看《圣解摩迦晚餐》第六篇，里面就有一个插图，画着他的插图。
对，就是那个插画的那个做奉献服务、追随布拉加居民的那种爱克里希那，是我们奉献服务的重点啊，最重点。
So,
To perform devotional service, to follow the footsteps of Braja Basi is our most important
thing.
So because Braja Basi, they are very devoted to Lord Krishna. So our devotional service should focus on following the footsteps of Brajavasi.
Eventually.
And
for now, follow the footsteps of your spiritual master.
那么呢，首先我们要去追随灵性导师的步伐。
In other words, we begin with Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti before we get to Raga Bhakti.
那么呢，在我们到达 Raga Bhakti 自发的奉献服务的阶段之前，我们要去从事 Vaidhi Bhakti， 就是要去遵守规范守则的修行。
It will come.
这样。
What you said is a stage that will come.
那么呢，这样做才能够到达你刚才说的那个阶段。
By following the teachings of Lord Chaitanya,
通过去追随出去开念的教导
，as given to us by Rupa and Sanatan Goswami，
而且还有追随就像是 Rupa Goswami 和 Sanatan Goswami 所描述的那样。
We're following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. They're residents of Vrindavan.
他们是 Vrindavan 的居民，我们去追随 Vrindavan 居民的步伐。
They're absorbed in the mood of the gopis.
他们俩 Sanatan Rupa Goswami 他们完全的沉浸于这种 gopi 的这种服务的心态当中。
So by following their teachings, we will come to that stage.
所以呢，通过追随 Sanatan 和 Rupa Goswami 的教导，我们也能够到达追随 Braja Basi 文达文居民的步伐的这样的层面上。
But we have to be qualified to be on that Raga Nuga Bhakti stage.
但是呢，我们必须要使自己具有资格，能够到达 Raga Nuga， 就是那个自发的奉献服务的阶段。
Okay.
好呢，回答你的问题
了。
回答了，而且我还没说完啊。这是第二，给人说的那个，就说自发奉献服务，我们是没有资格的，只有靠咕噜的仁慈给予了我们，我们才能提升到自发奉献服务。这句话对吗？
So, and only by the mercy of the spiritual master, one can attain the platform of spontaneous bhakti.
Yes. Well, it's two things.
那么这里面有两个方面，涉及两个方面。
Effort and mercy.
一个就是个人的努力，还有依靠仁慈这两个方面。
That's our teaching.
这是我们的教导。
Otherwise, I could just say, you know, I'm waiting for Prabhupada's mercy.
要不然的话，我就说啊，依靠他他的仁慈。
Whenever he's merciful, I feel inspired to chant.
那么呢，无论这个仁慈到来，我就
inspire
我啊，
我明白了
，inspire 鼓励激励
啊，我就会受到激励。无论是什么样的仁慈，我都会受到激励。
一个出席的百贵先生，如果到其他宗教去活动的话，他会污染他的知觉。
什么？污染他的知觉 ？So if a new fat devotee he joins another religion group, so to do so, his consciousness will be contaminated.
Compromised at least.
Compromise. 要是如果退一步说话，至少
是这样啊，就是不要做出任何的这种妥协，至少妥协啊，不要做出任何的妥协。明白吗？
So tomorrow morning there's two more verses.
那明天早上还会讲两个世界。
55, 56 and we're done.
那么55, 56世界我们就讲完了。
So whoever's here will finish.
那么我们现在几乎是讲完了。
And I have one little box of Mahaprasadam.From Los Angeles Temple, dry fruit, so it's not spoiled. But again, it's like was on the duty plate, and they gave me this thing. So.
啊，我带了一包，就是一盒菩萨的，就是从洛杉矶庙里面带来的。这个菩萨的米就是比较干的，不是那种油炸的，那种油油的。这是这个洛杉矶的祭司给我的。
I wish to leave with an empty box.
所以呢，我希望给大家都派的光光的。这个盒子是空空的。
You please help me.
所以呢，请大家帮帮我吧。
明天过午11:00还讲课吗？有人吗
？So tomorrow late morning have a class 11.
8 a.m. Hey, instead of Bhagavatam, I'm going to do this.
那么明天早上8点讲课，明天早上还是讲这个婆罗诃摩赞和。
11:00还讲。
So how? 11 o'clock?
No, not 11 o'clock. 8 o'clock.
没有，就是8点讲，没有讲课了，就早上8点。
Nice try, but 8 o'clock.
最好是8点了。
8点。
啊，八点。
远的人就来不了，他们。
8点到几点？8点到9点。
I'm going to give a class tomorrow at 8 o'clock.
明天早上8点上课。
We'll see you there.
哦，
我看。
明天见。
明
天干嘛呢？我明天还有一些奉献者跟他谈话呢。啊。
我看他一个空间呼吸
了。
那
他
She's leaving an empire.
尼尔人的主张啊，今天呀。
I'm exhausted.
妈，说他有点累
啊。I can't do it tonight.
那么今天晚上不能跟你谈。
And I'm going to need time tomorrow to prepare because I haven't done anything for the last 2 hours.
啊，而且明天早上还需要做一些准备。
And then all day long I'm going to be like I'm behind on everything because I've been doing this instead of everything.
啊，因为他整天呢都在做这个幻灯片嘛，所以其他的事儿都放下来。
So we can maybe speak by phone or something.
那么可能是不是通过打电话？
I can't do it.
但是今天实在是做没法查。
Sorry.
很抱歉。
Can we speak by phone?